Thank you, Tony. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. To the God who's known by many, many names, the beneficent, the benevolent, the merciful one, the one I come tonight to give all praise and honor and glory, not as one from the member of the cloth, but one from whom this power brought from the bowels of hell and allowed me to experience what I had once known as a child. It's fun to be alive. Well, you see, I came in this thing called recovery a little over 15 years ago, and at that time I was 55. I had used for 40 years, and I didn't know I was using. I thought I was getting high. And I had believed in this 40-year run that I could stop any time I wanted to, long as it wasn't now. That was the only condition. For how else would I stay out there 40 years? People retire after 20 years. So I have to start out by giving God his due, asking this God to use me as his instrument that I might play his melody this evening. For you see, when I came in, I was an atheist. I wasn't a lip service atheist. I was a profound atheist. I did deep research in atheism, and I defied God, if he existed, to take my life. I cussed him out every morning and every evening, called him foul, funky, low-down, skunky names. How dare you bring me into a world where I've got five older brothers and all of them are drug addicts? How dare you choose 1933 to bring me on planet Earth in the United States of America when people are selling pencils? And I'm one of six, and everything I got was handed down and handed down and handed down until it got to me, and then they gave the motherfucker away to the neighbor. I have to give God the due. There may seem a moment when some of my sharing is a bit incongruous, that there's two opposing forces up here. I'm well aware of the usage of English terminology. And I'm not angry. But when I reflect back off of 40 years of using, I never suggest that anybody go my route and express this journey in my language, but I don't know how to talk about something that whipped my ass for 40 years. I mean, I used to die. I call my pain pleasure. So if there's anybody in here this afternoon or this evening that might think that I'm being a bit abrasive, or I'm being a bit sharp in my language, and then there's women present, I apologize. But the reason I came here is to fuck up somebody's reservation out there. So, while I'm at it, let me get a few things out the way. Now, as I said, I'm a student of the language. I like to do crossword puzzles. And I know about nouns and pronouns and verbs and adverbs, adjectives, prepositions, conjunctions, and interjections. You know what I mean? And when I got in school, they told me that a noun was the name of a person, place, or thing. Well, when I arrived in the rooms, y'all told me that this disease was about people, places, and things. Therefore, motherfucker is a noun. All right? So I'm not gonna tiptoe through the tulips and say, oh, gee willikers, fudge, and golly, and oh, shucks, and darn, and drat. This motherfucker kicked my ass. And I'm free at last. I'm free at last. I said I'm free at last. So those young people that just came up here and said they got 12 hours and 24 hours clean. Somebody once said to me, watch your language, you might chase the newcomer out talking all strong words like that. Well, for the newcomers in here tonight, if you think that my language might chase you out, I only suggest that before you leave, look behind your ass and see what the fuck chased you in here. The 11 steps said that we each have our individual ways of carrying this message. And I came here to try to help somebody. Yeah. Dr. King said that if I can help somebody, then my living has not been in vain. I used for 40 years. I had a young man once ask me, aren't you a little uptight and maybe resentful to God that it took you 40 years to get this message? You're now 65. I was quick to answer. I said, well, have you ever got a check came so late you gave it back to the fucking mailman? That's what I'm talking about. Right on time, boy. Because I used against my will. I'm telling your story as though I was peeping over your shoulder. I've been there, you've been there, you know I ain't lying. I used to throw hot water on fucking birds tweeting in the morning. Don't tweet around me. So I could have actually started out my sharing very simple. I could have just said, I'm a grateful recovering addict. I could say that for the whole testimony. Because I came from a place that addicts don't recover. They told my generation that addicts simply die or go upstate. I was a part of the army of the living dead. I was looking for a place to die. I always tried to die. If somebody told me they got some shit that just killed 10 people, I never questioned who died. I just said, well, I hope they ain't sold out. That must be some good shit. Well, how could I have used for 40 years? Now, I'm not going to really give you a litany about my drug log, but I got to tell you that this is Narcotics Anonymous. I had to deal with the drugs before I could deal with the feelings that drove me to fucking use. Revelation came to me one time. I used to wonder, why did if 3 out of 4 doctors recommend Anderson? Why didn't the 4th doctor recommend the shit? He was a doctor. He knew something the other 3 didn't. He said, listen, you got a headache? Pay your fucking rent. If drugs is the answer, then what the fuck was your question? If all you needed was another one, then why the fuck do you need another one? I used to tell my sponsor, I said, Ronnie, man, listen, man, I'm an old man. I've learned to live long enough and use drugs long enough. It's not the first one. I always have a problem with the second one. I can deal with the first one. He said, no, man, you got it backwards. I said, live to be my age, then tell me that. He said, well, okay, I'll give you an example. If you're crossing the railroad tracks and the train blow the whistle, is he warning your ass about the second car? He was 20 years old, and I told him, respect your elders. Don't talk to me like that. What are you talking about? So I want to let you know, my brothers and my sisters, that this old man that's in his 70th year of life used for 40 years, and I started out trying to deal with my feelings. You know, my first drug of choice was, when I look way back, was lack of oxygen. I didn't know what to put, lack of oxygen. Yeah, I used to hold my breath, spin in a circle, get dizzy, fall the fuck out, and do it again, and 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 again. I was a kid, I used to build model airplanes, and you had to take the glue and put it on the paper, and you blow on the glue to dry it, and I'm inhaling, and all of a sudden, I'm flying high in the plane. Now, fuck it, all I want is glue. As I say, I come from a family that all of my brothers were drug addicts. My mother was an alcoholic. And my dear father was in denial about the whole fucking mess. I'm watching my brothers nodding and shooting up and putting a syringe in their arm, and the blood is going back and forth and back and forth, back and forth, and they're nodding, and then they fall out, and another brother runs and gets some ice cubes, put it under their testicles, trying to bring them back to life. I'm watching the police come in at 2-3 in the morning, kick the door down, looking for some of my brothers, and my mother is screaming. And I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm the youngest. And I was mad. I was always mad from infancy. All I can remember is being fucking mad. Mad. I didn't know what I was mad about, but I'm mad. I was mad at somebody one time for 20 years. Finally one day he said, "What? Why are you mad at me?" I said, must have been something. Talk about. So I grew up with chemicals. There's always substances in my house. It was the escape. You know, in a black family, the wellspring of the support network comes from a conscious contact with a power we call God. It was always exemplified in what we call Negro spirituals. I used to hear it all the time as a child. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land, and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And I used to wonder, why the fuck somebody come by Big Old Street and let my fucking people go? When you're in a house with six people using and your mother's an alcoholic, there's a lot of confusion going on. I'm the late child in their marriage. When I get 15, my father's 70 and my mother is 68. There's a lot of snoring going on in the fucking house. Playing no football and basketball with my father. You didn't take me fishing. I ain't knocking him, but what, you know. And I would sneak into my brother's rooms and I would get their cottons. I used to watch them shoot up. I'd watch them add water. And when they put the raw heroin in the cooker, they didn't have matches like the contemporary users do today. It was pure heroin. They were just coal shaking. And they would shoot it up and they would nod. I'm talking about nod with the top of your head brushed the sidewalk, but you defy fucking gravity to fall. Those were my role models. And I don't mean to step on nobody's toes, because here we are, the representation of our great nation, of all races and religions and backgrounds in here. But I used because of races and religions and backgrounds. I'm talking about people called me red when I was a child, called me Hayala, called me mulatto. I'm a minority and a fucking minority. Of course, I call them black motherfuckers. But on the real side, I used to cry every night, cry myself to sleep because I was not black. Because black had all those negative connotations. It's Black Monday, you black-hearted. It's the black market, you the black sheep. There's a black cloud over your head. Get your black ass out the window. So therefore, I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be you. But who could I be? I'm black in a community where we've been taught that it's negative, that it's bad to be black. So I wanted to be white. But white folks are saying they wanted to be black. They say they want to be tall, dark, and handsome. So they invent some shit called Mantan, Tanorama, Tansation, lay in the fucking sun, threaten skin cancer, and come and ask me, how the fuck do you like my tan? Now the black folks, not to be outdone, got some Natanola bleaching cream, put that shit on, say they want to be light, bright, damn near white. White folks putting Tony Home permanents in their straight hair, talking about they want to make it curl. Black folks putting some fucking hot fire in their tight curls, talking about they want to make it straight. And everybody was in denial. So I had to use, man. I had to take something to get me outside of myself. I didn't know what it was. Started out smoking marijuana. Started out laughing and giggling, ended up paranoid. Fucked up. Got on a drug called alcohol. Y'all heard in the preambles it said many addicts relapse because they forget that alcohol is a drug. But these motherfuckers tell you that this bud's for you. It's Miller time. We're going to toast to your health. 6 o'clock is happy hour time. And I drank Thunderbird. Thunderbird, what's the price? 40 twice. Where you cop? Liquor shop. When I come into recovery, I looked up in the Collegiate Dictionary of English Language, and what is a Thunderbird? It said Greek mythology. This motherfucker is extinct. I said, no wonder that shit had me throwing up yellow liver bile. holding onto the toilet like I was praying at the fountain, with long strings of slime coming out of my mouth, drinking for 37 years. So they put me on a drug called antabuse, because they was tired of me coming in and out the hospitals, coming in and out, cost a lot of money coming in and out of hospitals. Doctor said, now don't drink on antabuse, because antabuse and alcohol does not mix. It's like trying to make friends with a mongoose and a boa constrictor. They don't get together. I said, well, doctor, what will it do to me? He said, well, first, you drink on alcohol with antabuse, your heart is going to start missing beats. You're going to get a pressure on your chest. You're going to turn beet red. Your head is going to feel like it's going to explode. You're going to literally think you are dying. But I like that fucking feeling. I always like that feeling. Don't threaten me. So I got caught up, never leaving one drug. I just added on. It was like a train. You just keep adding cars. Got on a drug called heroin. Used it for 23 years. Dirty, low-down, funky, skunky disease drug. This drug made my ass march every day. It just march, motherfucker. We gonna march, march, march. You know what I'm talking about? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Wasn't no holidays, no vacation, no sick days, no personal day. Wasn't no time off. Wasn't no weekends. And if you got pneumonia, get the fuck up, because you got walking pneumonia. We gonna march. And where am I marching to? I'm marching to a dealer. And he's gonna sell me some shit that's got nothing written on the bag. And he got boogers in his nose, his hands is busted open with abscesses, he's funky and greasy, and he's telling me that this is capable of killing me. So I got on a drug called methadone. A drug that was perfected in Nazi Germany on the poor, innocent Jews who were in the concentration camps. And there was two doctors, Dr. Vincent Dole and his wife, Dr. Marie Neiswander. They brought it from Germany, brought it over here, synthesized this mother, and named it methadone, because originally it was named Dolphin and dedicated to Adolf Hitler. And at that time, Rockefeller had a law out that the Senate just passed, because all these addicts were strung out all over New York and just fucking with the economy. You know? He said, we got a new law, and in fact, these laws is twofold. One law they passed was called indeterminate sentencing, which meant they could hold you from one day till they decided to let you go. And the other one was called preventive detention. Well, they can lock your ass up before you do the crime. We're going to prevent your ass from robbing that store. And they told me that if I took this methadone, that they were going to give it to me for the rest of my entire life, and that it was going to allow me to nod, yawn, and scratch, and dig in my behind, pull on my privates. So all I wanted to know is, where the hell do you sign? Give me some of this. And I took it for 9 years and 2 months. 100 milligrams. And if you ever took methadone, you don't forget the 2 fucking months. You don't go fishing on methadone, boy. You got to keep the clinic in sight. Now, why am I sharing like this? Because I want to tell you I'm a grateful, 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 grateful. Well, what made me so grateful? I ran into a drug that all that using and all the wisdom and all of the experience should have told this old dinosaur, listen, before you pick up this drug, just wait. They call this shit crack. You know, drugs had romantic names like marijuana, amphetamines, barbiturates. Fuck is crack. Well, I picked up a few rocks and I soon found out why the fuck they called it crack. I'm smoking kitty litter and bird seed. I'm seeing motherfuckers looking at me and I'm on the 15th floor and there ain't no fire escape. I see you looking at me in that window. I hear some noise at the door. I run over to the door, snatch it open. Ain't nobody in the hallway. Damn, that's a fast motherfucker. And when all this was happening, wasn't nothing funny. If you'd have laughed when it was happening to me, choose your weapon. I'm smoking crack and half the time I'm smoking soap. My problem wasn't too much soap, it was that I prefer palm olive and the motherfuckers kept giving me ivory and shit. But of all the drugs that I used, that was of the shortest duration. I came in saying I was an atheist. When I picked up crack, there's a possibility there is a God. Help me, somebody. I remember when I used to smoke crack, I said, I'm gonna put a rock in the drawer for tomorrow. Five minutes after 12, the drawer say, all right, motherfucker, it's tomorrow. Y'all ever cut a rock in half? And then cut the half in half, and the half in, I could have been a brain surgeon the way I cut them motherfuckers up. So what I'm trying to say, this disease made me do things like the literature said. It took me to the animal level. I had dirty socks and dirty ankles. Took my socks off, the motherfuckers made a noise. Could have been arrested for felonious greasiness with an attempt to slide. And I'm 55 when I came in, and I came in arrogant, pompous, proud. I got it going on with a New York Times folded under my arm, and I would tell you about subatomic particles and quarks and neutrinos and fucking intergalactic space and the speed of light and drown while I meditate over some Thunderbird. You know what I'm talking about? Crazy in the bed bug. And I was a racist. I hated all white people. But I hate all black motherfuckers too. I ain't give a shit. People say, why you hate white folks? They fucking pictures on the money. Why not? But I got to point at somebody. So I'm trying to say that when I came in because I just was tired of being 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 tired. And y'all said, sit down. How do you like it? You want cream? You want sugar? Sit up front here. And the ones that was telling me that was some addicts. The last person on planet Earth that I thought could help me. You the motherfucker stole my money and helped me look for it. I know I did. How you gonna help me? Because the liturgy said that this was going to be the ultimate weapon. That you'd find that which will be without parallel. Nothing will equal this addict identifying with you. And you didn't lie. You didn't lie. I stopped and I stayed stopped. 5,347 days, I have stopped. You know what I'm talking about? So for that young man say he got 12 hours, just remember, 12 hours, that's a long time. Dealer used to tell me, wait here, I'll be back in 20 minutes. I said, let me go with you. You ain't got to come back. Do this shit in 10 minutes. So when I came in, I wasn't prepared for the basic text and 10 steps and 10 traditions and 10 concepts. I wasn't. All I wanted was freedom from crack. Because crack had reduced me to the least common denominator. I could no longer say that I was in control. Crack had brought me to the verge of a conscious contact. The devil incarnate was in that little rock. I thought Satan was a sucker with a pitchfork and ears and shit. It was that little shit that went. I come out the house with my TV set, a Trinitron, $200 back in the 70s. And I say, I'm gonna get $100 for this. The longer I carried it, the more it weighed, and cheaper that motherfucker got. Had a house sale. Everything is on sale, for sale. I'm the salesman, and the price is how much do you have? It's going to the lowest bidder. So I got to respect this disease. I got to tell God, thank you for loving this old atheist enough that you didn't take me off the count when I cursed you out, when I denied your existence and the evidence of your power and magnificence. And I thought it was about me all the time. That God only existed because I said so. And that there is no God. Till I was in front of the judge and he was gonna pass sentence, and I, God touched the judge's heart. God. So like I said, I come from a black background where religion plays a powerful influence. Powerful. It allows us to sustain the family community when hell and brimstone is all about you. And I had shied away from that, but I came into the rooms and I met a God because y'all raised your hand and you said you didn't use. And what do you mean you didn't use? You didn't use? Was you busted? Is there a panic in the street? How the fuck could you not use? And you said, keep it in the now. right now. Right now. Right now. It's give or take 9:30 p.m. Saturday, April the 19th. Right now. Call Tokyo, Japan. Ask the operator for the time. She said, "Why, certainly. It is 9:30 a.m. Sunday, September the 20th. So therefore, you will be talking with her tomorrow. She will be answering you yesterday, but the conversation is taking place now." Yeah. I ain't never met nobody got high tomorrow. And y'all put it so simple. You told me that if I didn't pick it up, I couldn't get high. And you told me to talk about my disease in proper terms. Quit using all that bullshit about getting you high when it's taking you low. Stop talking about something is good when it's bad. Stop calling angel dust when it's devil's powder. And I said, "But what am I going to, why am I going to stop? I'm 65. What, stop, stop. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do? Stop. I don't know how to stop." Y'all said, "Just right now." Because it's always about right now. I don't give a shit if it's winter, spring, fall, or summer. It's still right now. And I was freed. I was freed. I was freed. The chains like dropped away. That obsession and compulsion began to lift. This hatred that I had for everybody that started and ended with me, because I loathed me, I despised me, I held me in utter contempt. There was nothing I wouldn't do to me in the name of let's get high. And I found out through y'all that love was the answer. You told me that. You said, "Give a hug. Nobody needs a hug more than the one who has none to give." You told me that the opposite of love was not hate, but indifference. You have a child and tell him to get away, get out from under my feet, get away, and pay, indifference. That little motherfucker set the house on fire. Whip my ass, but let me know that you recognize I'm here. My old man used to beat my ass, whip me, pop, pop, and then tell me some crazy shit about this hurts me worse than it hurts you. I used to say, "Well, hit your motherfucking self then." So when I came in, I was a candidate in 1988, February the 11th. There weren't too many men, nor particularly women, that were in the rooms in New York that was over 35. The women had been beaten down. We were calling them skeezers and bitches and hoes. The brothers was beat up. We was calling them motherfuckers and bastards and sons of bitches. We get clean and the ladies are ladies, they're women. The men are gentle men. And we're hugging each other. And something happened in me that I saw you and met me. I once told somebody, "What is it about me that you don't like about you? That if I want to change you, let me change me. And since I'm no longer who I was, you now must change if you want to deal with me." And it was so simple. Everything in the literature is about utter simplicity. If you want to stop smoking cigarettes, don't light up the next one. Talk about? Ain't complicated. So though I came in the rooms full of doubt, But I was driven by this obsession and compulsion. This disease was so low down and funky and skunky, it told me to eat Twinkies when I got $30 or $40 in my pocket. It told me to go to the penitentiary, to give up my health, my wealth, my family, my friends. It told me to give and give and give and take back nothing but pain, misery, and suffering. And I ran with that because I thought that's what my hand called for. Because I'm a nigger. And y'all told me, no, you're not. You're a child of God. So though I came in seeing color, I've grown into an individual who is colorblind. In the dark, everybody looks the same. So I want to kind of warm up a little bit to after running through that scenario of why am I here with this thing called longevity into my seventh decade? It's simple. I found out that what I was running from was me. And it was about my feelings. It was always about my feelings. I was using because of my feelings. And I would always say, this makes me feel good. But if it made me feel good, then I must have been feeling bad. Hear me now. I thought I knew it all. I told you I was wondering with the New York Times. I know about Pope bellies. I know about the stock exchange. I may not be on the board, but I knew. But I didn't know that I was using it because of feelings. And the feeling started out with me loathing me, low self-esteem, always comparing my insides to your outsides, always trying to be who I'm not. Well, let me tell you, boy. Thank you, God, what we got, they don't sell in Tiffany's. Because they put a price tag on that sumbitch I know I couldn't afford. Thank you, God, that it comes free. Thank you, God, that there's such a thing as called a dictionary. Thank you, God. Because words sound right. You know, words can rhyme and have rhythm and meter and cadence, and it all sounds good. But I went to a dictionary one day and I looked up, what is the meaning of cunning, baffling, and insidious? Because it all sounded so heavy. I got an awesome disease. It's cunning. I checked out cunning in the dictionary, and Webster says, a skillful adversary. Not just your enemy, this some bitch has learned how to talk to you in your voice. He tells you your last ass whipping wasn't really that bad. Then I looked up the word baffling. Webster says baffling, that which defies solution. Third tradition says you can be prayed over, counseled with, reasoned with, analyzed, beaten, threatened, jailed, and your ass still won't stop. Defies solution. Finally, it says it's insidious. I like that word. It had a ring to it. Checked it out, insidious. Subtle treachery. My main man. That which lies in wait to do you great bodily harm. Insidious. So it says you gonna need a God to deal with this bad motherfucker. So I went back to the dictionary. What is God? Webster said, well, God has three faces to his personality. One, the literature says that we're going to need a power that's going to be the greatest source of our strength and courage. And it says that this God is omnipotent, has all of the power. Said that this God is omniscient, knows everything. So when I worked the fifth step and I got to tell God, self, and another human being, somebody said, why you got to tell God? He already knows. Well, I got to know that God already knows. And furthermore, he says he is omnipresent everywhere at the same time. So I didn't have to keep going back out to Andromeda. I could go inside of me. Come on. I could get quiet in my stillness, in my humility at the grandeur of the heavens. And this God loves me so much. Here I'm on a speck, an infinitesimal speck in the cosmos, and I'm an infinitesimal speck on that infinitesimal speck, and I'm recognized. And it lifted. Slowly, I began to want to wake up in the mornings. Slowly, I began to feed the birds. Now, I ain't an old man with nothing better to do than feed fucking birds, but I had fucked them up for a long time. I began to see that the second step was sure enough telling the truth when it said those who pass over this step with a minimum of concern will find that the other steps simply do not work. And what did that step say? I had to be restored to sanity. My behavior was life-threatening. If I lived to be twice 70, I could never, ever, ever give enough praise for Narcotics Anonymous. I've never met more beautiful people, nor anywhere on planet Earth, than a recovering addict. The joy is in the journey. You hear me? I've been asked to, in June, God willing, to go to Copenhagen, Denmark. London, England had invited me over in the year 2000 to share. I'm not saying this as a braggadocio, look at me. I'm talking about somebody that came from the bowels of fucking hell. Nobody, they told me to get the fuck away. I draw heat, I'm gonna get them busted. Furthermore, I had doubts that I could get a passport. I figured if the government let me out, they'd never let my ass back in here. But what am I saying that to say? I'm saying that my horizons has spilled from 135th Street and Lenox Avenue, from 110th Street, 7th Avenue, till it's global. That I see the love in you, I see our similarities, which so far outweigh our differences. I've learned how to tell you I love you without the I love you if, I love you but, I love you except, I love you however. Just I love you. Because you love me. And you loved me enough to say, stay. I want to thank the committee with Eric as program chair for inviting me here in this 17th celebration of life. That God woke me. I used to be so arrogant as to think it was my clock. Again, I got a young sponsor and he said to me, if you think it was your clock, take it to the nearest cemetery and see how many motherfuckers sit up and take notes. But the disease is ongoing. It still talks to me. It whispers to me. It presents situations that are life threatening. And I can still rationalize the most outrageous sort of nonsense. So I need you to kind of put me back on line. Like Rudy said, you my eyes and ears, when he shared last night. And it worked. Kind of wind down. If there's anything that keeps me centered, y'all, is gratitude. Literature says, put gratitude in your attitude. Be grateful for the things you have. If the people on the Great Divide that stepped over into the Netherlands, if they had your problems, they'd think they hit the lotto. So whatever you got, it's more than what you have. And you can keep what you got. I used to sell you my shoes, tell you how good they look on your feet. Yeah. I think of a story, and I'm just coming off the top of my head. Several people asked me to mention several stories, and I don't know, just what comes. I think of a story that it was an old man who had a faithful dog. The dog being 15 years old made him, what, 105 in human terms. And this dog was always with the old man. No matter where you went, there was the other one. And with this hot summer day, the old man was in his rocking chair on his front porch, and the old dog was sitting next to him, and he was puffing on his pipe when a friend passed in front of the house, hadn't seen each other for years. They both recognized, hollered, hi, yeah, yeah. The friend comes up on the porch, they embrace, they're talking and talking, how are you, how's the family, how are the children? And all the time they're talking, the dog is going, over and over and over again. So finally the friend says, Joe, what the fuck is the matter with your dog? Why he moaning like that? Joe says, man, don't play no attention to that mug. He's sitting on a nail. He said, well, he's sitting on a nail. Well, why don't the fuck he get up? When the pain gets great enough, he will. When the pain gets great enough, we surrender. Until then, the old dog had grown accustomed to that nail. He probably wiggled his old butt on it. So having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's awesome. It has allowed me the freedom to be free. It's allowed me to do what the fifth tradition says, the primary purpose of any group is to what? To carry the message. What is the message? That no addict seeking recovery need ever die from the horrors of this low-down, funky, skunky, dog-ass disease. This, you know, so in closing, if I was a bit abrasive with my language and I might have stepped on some of you ladies' toes or you gentlemen, I didn't mean to, I'd rather hurt your feelings than see you laying in a box thinking that if I'd have said something, it might have turned out different. But really, I don't give a motherfucker. Can I get a witness? For the convention committee again, it's been an awesome, it's amazing. I've only been here since Thursday noon, and here it is, Saturday evening, and it seems as though I've been here a week. Your hospitality is awesome. I've got to see your tower. I didn't get in the roller coaster, that son of a bitch that drops from up there. Just being up there was high enough. I come to get so many loving hugs from you. I met a young man who's 16 years old. He's got 6 days clean here. You know what I'm talking about? And if any of you all, if I can be so presumptive, if you're up and about at the midnight hour, my sponsee Kenny is going to have a hell of a message for you. And it's going to be right on time, timely. So with God's grace, I send you off. And they say grace is what? Unmerited favor. I send you off with love. My name is Khalees, y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
Eric.